I'm Joe Biden, the senator from Delaware, and I'm unsure if I approve this message.
He's too old. But everybody elected him, so that's y'all book.
And you ain't black.
He's sitting there lying to people.
And you ain't black.
He's the worst president that we ever had.
And you ain't black.
Joe Biden, please go back to Delaware, because New York City, you have no idea what we need.
And you ain't black.
He's a slimy mother. You know? He'd take you out to lunch and stick the fork up right after.
Who do you want to win the 2024 election? Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Donald Trump. I want Donald Trump.
And you ain't black.
Trump! Trump!
That happens to be me, in case you forget.
When he was in, it was no Trump. Trump was down.
Uncle Donald. No cap. That's a nice guy.
And you ain't black.
Trump is straight up and down, like 6 o'clock. At least I know what I get when it comes to him.
And you ain't black.
I was more comfortable with Donald Trump in office.
And you ain't black.
I'm not voting for Joe Biden.
And you ain't black.
Trump, that's right, I said it. That's right, I said it. What do you like about Donald Trump? He don't bull. He don't care. Like, you know, I like that.
And you ain't black.
Miss me yet?
Oh, boy.
Now from Times Square, it's that Kevin Show.
Somewhere in the bowels of the city that never sleeps,
Kevin McCullough, radio host with Salem Media,
is a man also not sleeping.
Syndicated radio talk show host Kevin McCullough.
And that guy would like a word with you.
Many of you know him from As Votes for Damas.
Of course that Kevin show is going to be great. The only thing that could be greater, of course, would be that Donald show. But we don't have that, so we have that Kevin show.
Featuring the music of Dick Tunney and the Dream in Color Orchestra. And tonight, former FBI agent Nicole Parker with the Criminal States of America. Parody Whitney and Yuri Lamas-Bella with sketch comedy. Caitlin Wheeler swims into the debate. And in the spotlight tonight, Casey Musgrave. Now, from Times Square, where a man who, even though he has 4 stab wounds, has still never led police on a slow-speed Bronco chase on the 405, here's the...
So that's how we're going to play it? Are you going to compare me to OJ now? Thanks, man. Like I didn't have a rough enough couple of 3 weeks. Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you. Yeah, crazy world we're in as we live and breathe this very minute. We've got OJ dead and gone. The Goldman family begrudging his death, saying there'll never be accountability. You've got Iran and Israel at tempers pointed triggers just ready to explode into World War III. And you've got the bigger World War III, which is what's going on in Atlanta. Did you see the professor from the historical black college and university and her hug from former President Trump? Take a look.
What the media tells you, Mr. Trump, we support you. We support you. Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a hug.
Please do.
And it's not enough that he was in a Chick-fil-A in the South getting hugged on by a bunch of young black college students. It's the fact that they think for themselves, as many in the cold open do, that really seems to be the bigger problem.
Of course, in the excitement of everything, I wasn't able to really relay my message. Yeah. But the general consensus, or social media, what have you, thinking that if President Trump were to show up to the HBCU campuses or walk around the AUC community, that like some angry mob would form or a riot would ensue and that he would not be welcomed. And clearly the sentiment in that room the other day was the complete opposite. He was very welcome. People were excited to see him. People showed up in support of him. And people, of course, were from all 4 institutions within the AUC, the local HBCU community in Atlanta, and they all showed up in support of him. So it's actually kind of crazy to see people in an uproar when all four institutions were legitimately represented, and all four institutions were represented by said students who wanted to support President Trump.
You know, Michaela,
and I appreciate that we were able to not only let him know that regardless of what social media says, you know, I know they're trying to make us think we're supposed to hate you, but we don't. And additionally, it was a learning experience for my students because they were able to see and experience firsthand how the media can warp the perception of an opinion or a person. Because, like I said, to think that these students who attend these illustrious institutions aren't smart enough to make their own decisions,
that's
so
right.
much so that they would only show support for Trump because he bought chicken sandwiches and milkshakes.
It's offensive.
That in itself is the most disturbing part of it all, especially when you think about the fact that it was mainly urban media outlets that were doing everything in their power to turn other black people against these young black kids who simply were not shy to explore other options.
Of course, because you cannot explore other options if you're going to be a monolithic, identity-driven voter. The idea of thinking for yourself and thinking independently of anybody else and thinking independent of the group that someone in the media somewhere said you belong to because you fit X, Y, Z number of boxes and therefore intersectionally you have to be this person that we've already created you to be. Of course, that's going to be a problem. This is how bad it is, though. Take a look at this. Here's a graphic from Friday afternoon. A CNN commentator saying that the most notorious thing that Orenthal Julius Simpson was known for, the murder that everybody kind of knew he did, but we just kind of said, okay, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit, whatever. A CNN commentator said he did the world a favor because two white people got killed. What is that? That's not healthy, cognitive, academic development. That's some sort of demented, twisted racial identity politics that is all too common in what we are dealing with in terms of the world that we're facing now. So, look, we're on the precipice of an enormous series of events, I think, in the world tonight. But the one thing I'm not going to criticize is people beginning to think for themselves and take action independent of others based on the thoughts that they themselves have come to. That's something that should be rewarded. That's something that should be encouraged. And it doesn't matter the race, the gender, the ethnicity, the religious persuasion, the sexual persuasion of the person involved. Think and know the facts for yourself and take action on the facts, and the things that you know. And be able to back it up. If you have evidence, act on the evidence that you have. That's the best outcome that really any and all society could come to on an occasion like this. Now, I'm not going to say that I didn't have a little bit of fun with the OJ passing away RIP thing this week. Did you see his hearse? Yeah, you remember exactly where you were when he got in that Bronco and he'd ducked down in the back seat. And talk about the expansive distance a life had gone from a very poor upbringing to the pinnacle of success in college, the pinnacle of success in pro football, the pinnacle of success in Hollywood. Riches, wealth, money, fame, women. And yet, what you're stuck with is a life that you say, I don't know. It was interesting that the family asked for privacy and everybody to leave him alone this weekend. If I was part of the family, I think that's exactly what I would have said. Because I don't know how much I would have been honoring this person from my family. Now, he died of cancer. I'm sure it was a horrible death. It's terrible. Nobody wants anybody to go through cancer. Knowing loved ones that went through it, I will tell you it is not something to easily bear. But at the end of the day, the nation is struggling with what it's going to do, and not just in remembering him, we have got significant milestones that require independent thinking, independent processing, and actions being taken on the basis of truth. That's what we're coming into. That's what we need to be focused on. And tonight, well, I do intend to have some fun. We're going to give a mug away. If you haven't been mugged yet, get your email in, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, and then be listening. Up next, former FBI agent Nicole Parker. We're going to talk about the criminal outbreak in America and what to do about it. Plus, a lot of sketch comedy coming your way later. Stay here. It's That Kevin Show.
I knew it.
Come on, Kev. What's a few classified documents between friends?
I told you all the time. I knew it. I knew he had some, too.
Here he is. That Kevin. Kevin McCullough.
Very glad to welcome back my next guest here at That Kevin Show from Times Square. We're glad to have you with us as well. She's a former FBI agent. In fact, we've featured her story in depth. Her very first time with us, we kept her for a full hour and really tried to understand everything that she had been through, but joined the service as a kind of call in her life following 9/11 and recently left the FBI because of concerns about what's going on with law enforcement in general. But we welcome her back this time to discuss some recent events and to really get some perspective on them. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and welcome back Nicole Parker. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm glad that you're able to be with us. Since the Diller shooting went down a couple of weeks ago here in the New York area, there's been a lot of media chatter about police, about safety, about crime. We have been plagued in our nation's biggest city with a crime crisis that is unparalleled, I think, in our city's history, at least for at least a generation, if not of all time. But as a former active duty FBI agent, I'm just curious as to your thoughts about how it was handled, even how the memorials went down. Four presidents in town when the day of the memorial, and only one of them found his way over to comfort the family. I'm just curious your thoughts on all of it.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. This is something that, as a special agent of the FBI, I witnessed a lot of different things, and this is something that really bothered me. To see the lack of respect for local law enforcement. Obviously, I was an FBI special agent in the federal system, but I worked very closely, shoulder to shoulder, with local law enforcement officials. I was, you know, we had a task force. I worked with police departments all over South Florida. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the local law enforcement. They are the ones that are actually keeping our country safe on a day-to-day basis. And we cannot understate how important they are to our national security and safety. And again, I'm coming from the FBI perspective. It's the local law enforcement. They're the ones doing the traffic stops every day. When you're making a call to 911, they're the ones receiving those call outs. A typical officer, let's say they serve for 20 to 25 years. I've been in discussion with many of my friends who were local cops. You could be receiving, depending on the city that you're in, up to, let's say, potentially 60,000 calls in your entire career. That's just a ballpark number, depending on the jurisdiction in which you're serving. That's a lot of opportunity for danger and for risk and for potential death, frankly. Every time you go through a door or you go to that car for the traffic stop, you don't know what you're going to face. And these officers are putting their lives on the line every single day for strangers. They don't know all the citizens and the communities in which they protect, but they're willing to do that because they love their city. They love this country and they have a call to serve. And I think that for me, particularly the summer of 2020, I sat back and I watched how our law enforcement officials were crucified. And it made me upset. My blood was boiling. I was a special agent and I sat there and I watched our television screens as our cities burned to the ground and as our officers were literally spit upon. And the lack of respect and how they treated officers like they were villains is wrong. The defund the police movement, it's wrong. And you know what? 4 years later, we're seeing it and it's caused damaging effects, a ripple effect that could damage our country for years. Not only is there a lack of respect, but the law enforcement officers, the cops, they don't want to serve anymore because they are not appreciated. They are not respected. Their local officials do not support them. Defund the police. There's nothing more it takes your motivation out of your sales because they don't support you. And I can tell you, we had two FBI special agents on the federal level in the Miami division. One of them was a very close friend of mine. Special Agent Laura Schwarzenberger and Special Agent Daniel Alfin were shot and killed in the line of duty on February 2nd of 2021 here in the Miami division in Sunrise, Florida. They were executing a search warrant against a child predator and they were killed adversarially in the line of duty. Mm. And we have not had an adversarial death in the FBI in over 13 years. To say it was a big deal is an understatement. It rocked the FBI. And I can tell you, I personally was devastated. I had conversations with Laura literally the day before she was killed. We were disgusted by what we saw the summer of 2020 and the disrespect for law enforcement. And we knew that with the new administration, now keep in mind, February 2nd of 2021 was literally 2 weeks after the Biden administration took over, after the inauguration. We knew, I'd served under Obama, I served under Trump, and I served under Biden. And to have two federal officials shot and killed in the line of duty, to have those memorial services and to have no president of the United States show up. The silence was deafening. They were not there. President Biden was not there. And so to see what happened with the NYPD officer, Jonathan Diller, a true hero, not just for the city of New York, but for the entire country. And to know that President Biden was within 6 miles of where that wake occurred. Yeah. Yeah. And he didn't even have the common decency to go show up.
Sadly, well, and it's not like it's also not like he can't stop traffic and get through places in short amounts of time. Like, I mean, he has the ultimate power to kind of clear his path to go wherever he wants and to choose not
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah. To choose not to is an absolute slap in the face. And frankly, you know what? It's hurtful. It's I think it's disgusting. But I can tell you it's par for the course because I saw it happen on the federal level as well. He didn't show up for the FBI agents' funerals either. So that was a very loud and clear message to us and to members of the law enforcement community, and particularly the FBI. He didn't really care. He doesn't have our back. He doesn't support us. And that's how it felt. And like I said, not being there sent a very, very clear message. I think it's disgusting. And I think it's shameful, but not shocking, not shocking at all.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at. And I think it's important that members of the community sit back and watch what's happening. And they think, well, what can I do about it? I'm not a cop. I'm not an FBI agent. What am I going to do to help? There's a lot that you can do because you have the power of a vote. And your vote, hopefully, matters. And in fair elections, your vote should matter. And you actually do have a voice in your community. And one thing that members of the community can do, you can go out and vote. And you can support elect officials who support law enforcement.
I want to get back to strategy of where we go from here in our next segment, but I do want to say that the damage that this mindset has done towards law enforcement nationwide has created an unsafe nation for law-abiding people. And there are lots of factors that are being kind of shuffled into this deck, but chief among them is the fact that we took law enforcement from being somebody that we respected and looked up to now we spit on and degrade on the public mass kind of level. And that is a very dangerous place to be. She's Nicole Parker. I'm Kevin McCullough. We're talking about law enforcement. Of course, last week, the four presidents were in town and three of them went to a big glitzy fundraiser. One of them went and sat with a widow and had a very meaningful time with the family expressing his feeling for it. And if you're not engaged in this, what does it take Does it take a murder in your own neighborhood? Does it take someone you know? Does it take a law enforcement member keeping you safe going down? I hope we don't get to that point. But my fear is that we're rapidly approaching it. We're coming right back from New York.
Stay around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
And we're back. That Kevin Show, thatkevinshow.com, That Kevin Store, if you want any of the snazzy merch that we have. And if you want to catch any of the past editions of the show via podcast or subscribe to any of our daily features, the Here's What I Was Thinking feature and other things, just go to thatkevinshow.com. The social media is all linked there. All the past episodes are there. And it's kind of your one-stop shop. Nicole Parker is my guest. She is a former FBI agent, and she is someone who loves this country, responded on 9/11 by saying, I need to do more than what I'm doing working in the world of finance. And she got involved. She became a law enforcement officer as a special agent for the FBI and served her country in that capacity for a number of years before kind of wrestling with this idea of, is it too far gone? And now she's speaking out consistently. Nicole, always appreciate your time. It's very valuable, and you always bring such great insights. But there's no question that where we are right now in 2024, in the middle of this election cycle, that crime is on everyone's mind. And at just about the time you wonder if people are going to forget about it, then you have a Laken Riley. About the time you're going to forget about it, you have Jonathan Diller. There are consistently massive criminal issues that are coming to the fore. And it appears from where I sit in the New York area that our top law enforcement, our top FBI officials, our top executive branch officials just don't seem to be that interested in dealing with it. And Christopher Wray had a tough week last week in front of a couple of committees in the Congress. And Joe Biden doesn't like the questions about not just illegal immigration, but its impact on the crime issue that he's also let spiral out of control contemporaneously. How can we, Nicole Parker, begin to take back our culture, our cities, our nation, and make it safer if our elected leaders are so blind and unwilling to address the issue?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because there's nothing worse than feeling like a sitting duck. I mean, I am originally from Texas. I'm now a resident of Florida, but I'm from Texas, and I look at the open border, and, you know, all these cities are complaining, oh, you know, we have this big problem with immigration. Excuse me, but look at Texas. They're taking the brunt of this, millions and millions of people. And you know what? Thank goodness Governor Abbott is in there doing everything he can to protect the state of Texas, because this administration is failing. In fact, they're inviting these individuals here. It boggles my mind.
Secretary Mayorkas just last week said to Guatemala, we think we're going to have the Texas border open soon. And he apologized for the trouble that they're now facing because Governor Abbott took those measures.
And you know what? What you need to be doing as citizens, if you don't agree with what's happening, if you're starting to feel concerned about your own life and your safety, is you need to start electing officials like Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis and those who actually care about their states and putting the safety of their citizens first. This open border is so dangerous. We're basically inviting terrorists in. You know, I look at how crazy it is, the whole thing with TSA and letting these individuals fly. Why do the rest of us even have to go through TSA checks anymore? Why do we even have to show our real government IDs? I witnessed 9/11. Kevin, I witnessed 9/11. I saw the terrorists take those buildings down. And now we just are inviting whoever would like to come in into our country. It's a problem. Look at the immigrants in Times Square who beat up the NYPD cops and then were let out, you know, the next moment after they were arrested and lost in the wind. I mean, this is absolutely
and without remorse, they were flipping the middle finger to literally the entire world as they walked out of the jailhouse. I mean, that's where we're at.
But you know what? I think Americans are waking up. and people like myself, I loved being a special agent for the FBI. It was a very difficult decision to walk away. I felt like I was making a difference. I worked with good people. I wasn't involved in the politicization. I was trying to work violent crime, crimes against children, things that I felt truly mattered, where I could help protect Americans. But you know what, Kevin? It got to the point where I would sit back and watch what was happening in our country and within the FBI, even the politicization of it. And I thought, you know what? I believe that God has a different path for me. And if he's going to create a path and a platform where I can speak up and be a voice for thousands of agents that I know that feel the same way as I do, then I'm going to do that. And that was the contribution that I made. I walked away from my pension. I don't regret it, but I love serving. It was a difficult decision. But I think creating awareness for Americans that are not on the inside of these organizations, who don't necessarily know what's going on. So being a voice and trying to create awareness and speak truth and spread light is very important. But then it's on the citizens to listen and say, you know what? Is this a credible individual? Is what she's saying true? And what can I do about it? Like I said, what you can do about it is start looking at who you're voting for. Maybe right. You've already always voted a certain way. Maybe you should open up and look at their different positions on issues and vote. And
follow her on social media, Nicole Parker USA. Nicole, always appreciate you being with us. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Kevin McCullough coming right back from New York City. Don't go away.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
So thankful for those of you that have expressed such kindness in notes and emails and so forth about me recovering from my surgery. If you've not noticed, I've been away a few weeks, but we are back in the swing tonight, and I am so thankful to be here and so thankful for all the kind words and so forth. And that means, since I'm back, we've got a mugging of New York size proportion coming up in just a few minutes. In the next hour, we will be giving away either a white mug with the black logo or the black mug with the beautiful white logo. I like both of them. If you would like to register for your chance to win, and we're giving one away every weekend from now through the end of 2024, send your emails to thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, I want to be mugged, or mug, or mug me, or something related to mugs. But we would love to send you one of the beautiful That Kevin Show mugs to commemorate your favorite weekend show and ours, as always. Now, I am really super excited about something that I'm about to tell you about, because every year we do this, and it seems like every year there's more and more enthusiasm for doing it. Last year, we had a goal of trying to liberate 192 enslaved individuals in North Sudan. That's the Arab-controlled North. It's Muslim-controlled, Arab-controlled. And with our friends at Christian Solidarity International, for the last number of years, we've been freeing slaves that have been held in the North. And last year, our goal was 192. And here's what we did. Bingo! 252 slaves were liberated because of your generosity. Now, if you add all that up together, we are closing in on 4,500 human beings that we have set free from slavery in just the past few years. So I am thrilled to no end. Now, we're kicking off the 2024 Slave Liberation Project. We have 208 names that are on the list. We know that there are 208 individuals currently in slavery. We found them. We've begun the negotiations with them. We know how to get them out from their enslaved situation. Here's the thing. It costs $250 to liberate one slave. Now, we don't pay the slave master $250. We negotiate their freedom through a barter with the slave master. The $250 takes the slave from slavery and puts them into normal life again. So it supplies them tarps and bedding, utensils to cook and garden and fish with, It supplies a supply of food, sorghum grain, for a full year, and then it gives them a year's worth of seed to plant for a future crop of sorghum grain that will continue to feed them. And it includes a little billy goat that they will take and have more kid goats with and can turn into a micro enterprise. All of that happens for $250 one time, or five times 50, or two times 125, whatever it takes for you to get to that particular amount. But here's the thing, friend. I am so pumped because we are just kicking it off here at the 1st of April, and already 42 slaves have been liberated of the 208. So thank you to those of you who have already been giving and already said, Kevin, we're on board. We're going to see to it that we liberate all of these women this year, women and sometimes their children with them, which is really a blessing. Here's the phone number. It's very, very simple. It's 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Or the easier way to do it is just go to bringherhome.org. bringherhome.org. I'm about to introduce you to someone whose life we did change because somebody gave last year, a young woman named Abouk, who doesn't even know how old she is, was liberated. Take a listen to her story.
It took me 15 days to walk the journey back to South Sudan. But that marked a passage for my life, from the horrors of slavery to a future filled with hope. Taken when I was just a child, snatched away literally from my mother's arms, my dreams of happiness were shattered as my living nightmare began. And suddenly, I found myself a slave. My slave master stripped me of my Christian faith and even my name. And he stamped on me instead a Muslim name and identity. And the beginning of a life of endless work. My worst day in slavery is still a vivid memory. My master sent me for a very difficult job of fetching water. The jugs are very heavy, and the distance is very far. When I was on my last trip to the well for that day, a group of Arab men approached the well and began calling out to me. And then they raped me. My master refused to accept my story and even blamed me for what ended up happening. And he did so even though he had raped me so many times before that. Because I have no idea of my birthday or even hometown. When I arrived to South Sudan, I was very blessed to be able to join a community of 150 other former slaves. And as I am now pregnant with a child that was conceived from my abusers, it's my hope to be a loving and caring mother. I hold no remorse against this child, because I am so grateful. I wish to send thanks to God and thanks to those of you who cared about me and brought me safely home. And I would like to ask that you not stop until every captive is freed, fed, and healed. My name is Abouk Gourang. And because of your faithfulness, I was freed in November of 2023. And this is my story.
That's a story that you and I got to write with her. We wrote it together because she was liberated last year because of your gifts and because of us working together with Christian Solidarity International. Please call the number 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. Coming right back from New York.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough. Serving it up with a no-drink minimum. It's That Kevin Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's got four number ones on the Billboard charts of where her album places. It's the top overall album, it's the top country album, top Americana, and top pop. Kacey Musgraves.
There's a canyon that cuts through the desert. Did it get there because of a flood? Was it devised? But were you surprised when you saw how grand it was? Is it thought out at all, or just paint on a wall? Is there anything that you regret? I don't understand. Are there blueprints or plans? Can I speak to the art? Sometimes I look in the mirror, wish I could make a request. Could I pray it away? Am I shapeable clay? Or is this as good as it gets? One day you're on top of a mountain, so high that you'll never come down. And the wind at your back carries
asking one of the biggest questions that can be asked, is there an architect? Kacey Musgraves with her third successful single from her newest album, Deeper Well, and our guest tonight in the New Music Spotlight here on That Kevin Show. Hour number two is just around the corner. Don't touch that dial.
Hashtag New Music Spotlight on Spotify or Apple Music.